Blog Talk Radio. Brother Ty, you lied. Your line is live.
Black power.
Black power.
How y'all doing out there tonight?
Black power. Okay. We can hear you live. You're live. Want to get closer to the mic, Brother Ty, as we go through the mic. Tell me a little what's going on there in Greenville tonight.
We got a little thing going on. It's called Fall for Greenville. It's been going on all week. This is when people come down to the west end side of town that's been gentrified, you know, where they push all the black folks out and get rid of them. But I can't lie to you, man. It looked pretty nice down here. The businesses are thriving, even though they stole the spots and stole the whole side of town. Man, it's beautiful down here. You got a lot of commerce going on. You could buy a bracelet, which allows you to walk down the street and drink your beer. They got all kind of culture, different cultures of food out here, Spanish, Indian food. So we just down here, me and one of my buddies, 35 years of friendship, we down here enjoying ourselves. We just now pulled off. What's going on in Greenville? Same thing that's going on in Cali and Texas and New York, man. We got discrimination going on, man. Housing discrimination. We got the opposition murdering our people and trying to cover it up, make it look like accidents. We got misinformation, lack of information, and it's killed our morale. But today we're here to boost that up. That's why we on Black Power Radio. And I think that the solar eclipse that hit not too long ago, that was our sign from God to slay our enemies with their own weapons. They turned it off right there.
Black power, black power. Thank you, Brother Ty, for the update as we are rolling here on Black Power Radio tonight. Please press 1, beloved brothers and sisters, if you decide to speak tonight. You and our vast listening and participating audience, and you've dialed in, of course, at 515-605-9889. Come on in and bring a friend as we go directly to our New York family via South Carolina and Gaffney. We have 718-781. The Lane and Reese family, assalamu alaikum and black power to you all in Gaffney, and welcome to Black Power Radio, and you can take turns at the mic. Come on in. We should have Miss Beverly first at the mic. Come on in and talk to us. Power to the people and black power.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to send peace and blessings. And under these circumstances, I mean, thank glory be to God, we're still here. You know, we just have to press our way and continue to fight just for our equality. You know, it's supposed to be, but it's not. And, you know, we just have to stand for something or fall for anything. You know, my son was slain, and you know, it's questionable. And, you know, nothing stays in the dark. It will come to light. Because I have a whole heap of faith. You know, you're just supposed to have a mustard seed. I got a whole job of mustard seed faith. And I'm just patiently waiting. I'm just patiently waiting because every stone is going to be unturned. You know, nothing stays in the dark. And, you know, we just have to have unification. We have to stick together. You know, it's no time for separation. You know, you got 10 fingers, and when you hold them up and open them up, it's spaces in between there. You need to ball up your fist, and, you know, power to us, our people. I'm talking about the million people. I'm trying to say that word, the black people, because I can't pronounce it, but that's what I mean.
Yeah, melanated
melanin,
people.
That's it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
for
ma'am.
Us, we need to just stand together or fall for anything. You know, it's enough is enough. Enough is enough. And, you know, mental illness, this is the whole concept. You know, mental illness, it should be a death sentence. And, you know, my boy was 29 years old, and he's no longer with us. You know, physical being, he's going to always be in my heart and in my presence. You know, just from me birthing him, that's our connection. But, you know, God knows every hair on our head. And, you know, you reap what you sow. And I'm trusting and believing in his word. And it does not come back void. You know, anything that you do in the dark, it will come to light. And that's what I want to say. And I just want us to keep prayerfully, that the bad will turn into good. You know, if it don't, he's no longer here, LaBelle Lane. He's no longer here on this earth. But, you know, maybe the next one follows. There ain't going to be no next maybe, because that's what they're doing. They've been doing it for centuries and centuries, And, you know, his name is going to go to ring bells and right open doors for the one that's going to follow. Because it's happening so frequently and consistently. You know, society is taking it as a norm, and it's not. That's not normal. It's not normal to take another person's life. It isn't. God gives life and death. And I'm going to let somebody else speak.
Is there someone there at the round table? And we just want to give the accolades for a strong steward at the family realm with Mrs. Reese Lane as well as Mr. Lane for holding the line and showing up at the rallies and going doing outreach after the murder of their son, we believe. Some say they're waiting on evidence, but we've seen a lot of evidence indicating so much foul play has taken place with our beloved brother, Lavelle Lane. But I'll let another of your family members can chime in at this point. There's someone else near the mic. Nah.
You have to press one to speak, y'all.
Yeah, tell them, okay, yeah. Tell them to press one, anyone that's chimed in, and we'll see them on the front. Are they able to use your mic, or how does that work? Let's see if we can get them here. If not, we'll be able to get right back to you. Is there anybody else in the room with you that wanted to speak?
His father's here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Mr. Reese, we want to welcome you to Black Power Radio, and you and the family has had quite an ordeal with the loss of your son and with the family members having to bring them from all over the country and being right there to see to it that everyone has made it to the table to have a meal, that everyone was able to get to the locations of birth in and out of town. And it's not always the easiest place to get to when you're not used to coming to Gaffney, but you were right there at the steward's position where you rightfully belong to welcome everyone to the rally and to the press conference and other things that have been going on. It has been, you have been really number one black activist in the Gaffney region for the last few weeks. So we want to welcome you to Black Power Radio, Mr. Reese.
First and most of all, I want to thank everyone, all the listeners out there. My name is Andy Reese. My wife's name is Beverly Lane Reese. My son's name is Lavelle. He was arrested while walking in the road. And I don't think for walking in the road is a death sentence. I think that is very unlawful. I think they should have just took him and put him in like a mental institute and took him to the hospital, anything else besides taking him into a detention center. And you know what's the sad thing about it? When the arresting officer arrested him, he was in the bushes, and he told him to come out with his hands up. And my son did. He did exactly what the officer said. But when he got inside that prison, Lord, help me, Jesus. My son was dead less than 5 hours. And I just want justice. I really want justice to be served. Because not only my son, it's a lot of other people out there, too, who got mental health issues. And they seeking to find help. But the government is not doing it. You know, we need funding for this type of situation. Now, I had to bury my son. That was a heartbreaking feeling. My baby boy. That hurt me to my heart. I have all my children all over the different states and you know, and money you had to spend and funeral arrangements you had to pay, and it was very hard on me. And then with my son, with that being stressful, and with my son's death, I'm just sad with about now. You know, I'm sad and hurt because I can't see him no more Christmas. I can't see him no more Thanksgiving, all the major holidays, birthdays. My son is dead, and it's very hard. And I just want justice to be served. I want somebody to be accountable for this, man. Because they didn't even bring the officers that tased him. I don't know which one did it. I could have been out there rounding in front of the detention center because two officers walked me past me. I don't know if that was them or not. They ain't bringing no name. They ain't showing me no footage of the video. The body camera outside. I want the body cameras inside while he was detained. I just want justice to be served. That's what's wrong with that. I lost my son. Anyone would lose a son would be hurt. Someone that you nurture and brought into this world all these many years, and then somebody just take him out of here like that. I feel sorrow right now. And, like, if anybody else want to speak, they can speak.
Mr. Reese, we're going to be coming back to you and the family, and I just want to get all the board members across to get their names up. And let me see. Mrs. Reese, did you have anything on re-up before we went to Brother, in, I think Elijah's in New York, but they didn't want to be changing the platform if you had a little more to say. Do you have something?
Elijah went back to New York.
Yeah, we got another Elijah from the – there's actually another Elijah in New York online with us. But you can say what you have to say, Mrs. Baird, and we're all listening.
No, I'm just telling them that please press the number one so you can join in with the conversation. I mean, if you're a cousin, I mean, your family member, that's your DNA. You know, a little character background for LaBelle. You know, your relationship with LaBelle. You know, whether you liked him or you didn't like him. I mean, say something. I mean, it's strength in numbers. And this is the time to join together, not separate from each other. Because we all want justice. He was taken from all of us. Near and far, whether you've seen each other often or whether you didn't see each other at all, you know, the key is togetherness. That's what I'm looking for, and I'm looking for justice. That's all. Basically, I'm just looking for justice. I'm looking for answers. Who, what, when, where, and why. Because I haven't been given that option and that opportunity in no shape, form, or fashion. Everybody's giving me the next person. They're just passing it on, passing the buck. I mean, who's going to be held accountable for this boy's death? Because he didn't die of natural causes. You know, I know God gives life and he takes life, but his life was taken. He didn't die naturally. Something happened in that jail and they're not telling me what. And I really want to know why they know, but why they're not giving me any explanation, any answers. So, like I said a little while ago, I'm waiting patiently because nothing stays in the dark. Nothing.
Absolutely not. And Mrs. Reese, and of course, Gaffney and Cherokee County and Spartanburg County, and they're not used to seeing people come as we have come there. The family rallying hard right at the murder. We had put our own caution tape up to say that is a murder scene. That's a scene of a criminal. It's a crime scene that has been conducted by the criminals that are
police
running a system of injustice. Well, you and I know that in a regular, normal case, they would just surface up with the number one, the 911 call should have been a minimum public information for you and the press to know. Well, that call went out from Mr. So-and-so was traveling the highway and saw our beloved brother, young LaVell Lane, along the highway and saw something unusual. She felt the call. She felt the press need to call. We don't even have what's leading into the situation of his killing.
I didn't know it was a crime to get arrested to walk in the street. You know, this young man that we're talking about, you know, he was a Howard University student. You know, in the middle of the illness kicked in, and he didn't finish, but he had a 100% scholarship, athletic scholarship for track. 100%. I didn't have to pay a dime. When LaBelle graduated high school, Acorn High School in Brooklyn, New York, he graduated. He was the valedictorian of his high school. So we're not talking about no hoodlum. I mean, he's not better than nobody else, but I'm talking about his character. Here goes this white Channel 7 news reporter. You know, while we was rallying the whole time, she stood in the back. She stood in the back and was the whole time was on her phone. I guess she was Googling LaBelle or texting, you know, whatever she was doing, investigating his past. I mean, she was talking about some trespassing charge he had in New York. Okay, he wasn't in New York. He was in Spartanburg. You standing outside the jail. Why you ain't investigating how he died in there? What you going up back here? Because LaBelle been down here like 5 or 6 years. Why you going back to a trespassing charge? Hey, he didn't have no rape charge, no murder charge. I mean, that was just trespassing. I mean, crime is crime, but I'm just saying, if you are investigating and digging up stuff, go in that jail in Spartanburg detention and dig up why he dead. From A, B, and C. Tell me that.
Mrs. Lane Reese, it gives me flashbacks of the killing of Michael Brown when the officer, Darren Wilson, had killed him for no relevant reason. Pretending he had disobeyed a direct order, walking down the street while black. So they asked the officer, Jackson, who killed Michael Brown? He never answered the question. He just started showing film strips of Michael Brown allegedly stealing a cigar out of the store. Oh, my. And then after we investigated, we found Michael Brown to be a 17-year-old who just graduated high school, going into his vocational trade school, and was happy, barefooted, and that he sells weed in front of the store. He has a relationship with the owner. There was no stealing of the cigars. But it's an attempt from Spartanburg and from the media to vilify young LaBelle Lane. We won't allow that. We're not going to let them vilify our brother. He was not out with no criminal intent whatsoever. The authorities there in the city and the county knew who he was, knew what his situation and circumstance, knew they were supposed to contact the health professional. And as Mr.
That's
Lane
right.
and his uncle explained at the rally, he was a smart young man, oh my. And he said it 4 times in his short speech. Oh, but he was a smart guy. He was a smart young man. He was brilliant in what he did. But they don't want to highlight and put emphasis and glorify our greatness, but they want to find something they can vilify us about. And I'm saying we're
right.
Not letting the press
demoralize
the
exactly.
Anybody there put any stains on our beloved brother, for he was purified and sanctified, and we know that he was out there on his mission within his mind. He has some health issues that has to be managed, but they know they mismanaged his health issue on that day. And we need answers again, such as the dispatch call, such as who called the shot to do this or to do that concerning our brother. We want a full and complete report, and we want all the officers that were involved, that interacted with him that day, corrections officers, sheriffs, police, anyone that made contact with him after he was on the highway. Because they had no right to delay him, that it violated his constitutional right to pursue it and go on about his business if he had not had any criminal activity or a felony that he was wanted for any form of felony, then they had to allow him to go on his way.
Even
but
the
they
hospital
chose to get down into him like that.
Even the hospital needs to be held accountable. Because they got him from the facility that housed him for people with mental illness. He lived there. He ate there. He
yes.
slept there. And he asked to be sent to the hospital because he wasn't feeling well. And his primary counselor, social worker, she immediately stopped what she was doing, what she told me. She had a conversation with me.
and she looked up from doing her paperwork, and she said she called the ambulance. She called EMS. They have to answer too, because I mean, if you're in a mental facility and you're taking care of mental patients, mental people with mental illness, how do you send them out by themselves? You just put them in the ambulance unattended. I don't understand. You know, this is the first time that I've had to go through this, and God willing, I hope it never, I have to never go through this again. So I'm learning as I go. I mean, it's been 2 weeks today. It's been 14 days today. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm trying to discern who is who, because I've got a lot of people coming at me from different ways, and you know, with their spiel, with their story, and their input, and I got to pick and choose. You know, you got to be careful, because people come like sheep in wolf clothing. You know, I have to be careful myself. I have to use my own judgment of people's character too. You know, we have a sixth sense. And, you know, like the Spidey says, like Spider-Man, mine's tingling go off if you ain't right. And you don't even have to say nothing to me. I know if you're not right. God bless me with that talent and that gift, and I appreciate it.
With the like discernment. I just wanted to tell the people that have added on to please press 1, and if you wanted to speak on the case. I have a man that's been waiting, and I want you to stay with us, Mrs. Lane, and we're going to cover the story. I want you to give me something on the upbringing, some of the things from kindergarten through college. Just talk about the story of Brother Lavelle Lane, and this is one of our topics tonight, and I want you all to stay with us here. Our vast and participating and listening audience. This is a wonderful, wonderful family with a wonderful story to tell about our son, up to the point that he has lost his life in the hands of the authority, and they had a complete jurisdiction. At that point, they exercised jurisdiction on taking him into custody, and some are saying it was unnecessary, but we'll be right back with you. We'll give Brother Elijah the mic. Stay with us, Mrs. Lane. And we're going on and rock with Brother Elijah out in New York, and he wants to update you on something. And I think you'd find it interesting concerning the reparation, other things that they're doing in New York, in California, in Chicago, and right here in Washington, D.C. Want to welcome to the line our beloved brother right on the line. It's hot. The mic is hot. Drop it like it's hot. Brother Elijah coming right out of Brooklyn, New York. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power. Welcome to the airway. He has to probably unmute. You have to unmute his brother Elijah right there. You got to unmute to get on. We got 678-678 at 427. You're live on Black Power Radio. 678-678 at 427. You're live on Black Power Radio. We're not sure. Hoping this is not a technical difficulty. We're going to try it over here on 336-336-583. You're live on Black Power Radio. Gotta get these lines straight. Okay. Talk. You gotta talk. Speak right into the mic and talk black to us. Who's calling in on 336?
This is Priest.
You got a little skip in your line. You gotta get put your mouth right on the mic. You gotta get your mic and
can you hear me now?
Put it in one place. Keep it still. Mic still. And talk
this
black.
Is, this
Go ahead.
Is Brother Maurice Lee out of Roxburgh, North Carolina.
We're happy to hear from you, Brother Maurice. Welcome to Black Power Radio and Power to We the People. Are you connected to any of those brothers that are working on the reparations issue?
I'm with the 66 Black Legion under Azrael DeBoe.
Y'all got a strong network there. It's rocking and moving and doing what you have to do. Are you in there with Kyrie, Elijah, any of those brothers call you? Within the last 24?
I haven't heard from
Okay. I just want to make sure your mic was working, that we had everything synced up.
I know we
go back and
pick I know we were down at the funeral. We did security for the funeral of Brother
yes, sir.
Lavelle.
Yes, sir. Y'all look
appreciate
it. We attended the funeral.
We ordered the body over to the casket, if I remember. You and the troops were there. And LeBeau was there, as well as that Brother John was with you?
Brother John, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Y'all look beautiful. And we want you to know that we went on the very next day with an armed maneuver on the detention center, and we go in again, as Ms. Sister Beverly is telling you, with your God and your gun against the opposition. You must bring your God and your gun against these bastards. It's a dirty thing
okay.
that they're doing to people, Brother Maurice, but I know you're leading your squad to do whatever you got to do to make a difference. You
yes,
attend with us to Gaffney City Council over this type of killing. Is that right? Yes, sir. Can you hear me clearly? I said you have been
yes,
with us to the City Council. Is that right?
I wasn't. I think I didn't go. I wasn't there for that.
Okay. Israel was there, and I couldn't get off work
for that one.
Okay, you missed the city council one, but Israel was there. See
yes,
if you
sir.
Can get him online for us tonight on Black Power Radio to talk about how
yeah,
we're going to approach
these things. He told me to go. Okay, let me see if he'll get on.
Yeah, go back and patch him in as we move on Black to the family. Go right there. He might have some questions. Our co-host is Right Black in Greenville. Go ahead, Brother Ty is right there at the top of the key, and he's dropping it like it's hot from Greenville. And let's tell us a little bit about what's going on around there. I mean, you're a Spartanburg man. You can give us the insight on some of this stuff, this past history of the department there and how they managed with our people in the past. And we're going to go right back to the family. Go ahead, Brother Ty is there.
Well, you know, The devil is a liar, man. So what they do, they real good at lying and deceiving. It's been known for years and years and years, hundreds of years, that that's what they do. They do things and try to cover it up. They make promises that they can't keep. Anything is deceiving, man, down to the fake smile. So, you know, this ain't the first time something like that done happened, man. But I'll tell you something that happened the other day. A brother killed, I think, five Caucasian people over in Emmon. That's Spartanburg County right there. You can look it up or whatever. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you, I noticed something. Every time a white guy kill a bunch of blacks, you know what the white folk do? They put their money together. They make sure he eat good while he in there. They make sure his family taken care of. Those people leave and go to prison, man. They got kids. They got a family. And you know what, man? People come together and make sure that white man that killed a lot of black people got a lawyer. They make sure he make bond. All that kind of stuff. We need to start coming together just like them, man. You got to meet power and greet power with power. We need to get that man some money to eat with, get a lawyer to defend himself, man. He wasn't one of us, but he was one of us, just like Lavelle is one of us. We might not have known him, but guess what? He our brother under God. He our cousin. We all got the same DNA, bro, and it could have been one of us. They could have got killed in the same kind of way or maybe a different fashion, but still, the same thing. They're going to cover it up. Nobody is going to take responsibility. But I bet you if you spit out a piece of gum, you're going to get held to the fullest extent of the law for littering, and you're probably going to get two or three more charges. Here it is. They killed the man, and nobody ain't stepping up. Ain't nobody being held accountable for what went on. I can't take it no longer, bro.
In this area right here, man,
they draw the – excuse me.
I agree.
In this area right here, they will draw the district lines around a black neighborhood and try to include all the white areas to go to a well-taken-care-of financially district and put all, like, mostly white. They don't want the blacks in this neighborhood, so they draw the district lines around. It's a whole new way of segregation. It's a whole new way of slavery going on in different kinds of ways. Now, they're not walking down the street grabbing people, hanging them. But any little thing you do, like that man walking down the street, come on, he a man walking down the street. Everybody ain't got a car. Everybody ain't got roller skates, whatever, anything. He walking down the street. What crime is that? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, exactly. Little thing, man, they take it and twist it and make it big like somebody did something big, bro. And we got to realize, man, it wasn't too long ago that the schools was integrated around here. I'm in the South, man, the Southeast, so we in South Carolina. They integrated the schools, what, 30, 40 years ago? We got to come together as a people, man, and realize what our people died for. They died for us to have the same rights as other people. And, man, I think we get comfortable and we get sleepy, and then we start to put our guard down, and then as soon as we put our guard down, they ramp up. Oh, we can kill a few of them. They killing
That's
each
right.
other anyway. They don't respect
That's
each other anyway. We'll kill a few of them. Ain't nobody going to do nothing. Or they'll do something for one day, and then next week it's back to business as usual. They'll march one day, and then next week they don't care anymore. And they'll just go back to killing one another and playing their music and dancing and being silly and all that kind of stuff like that. That's what they think about us, because we got to respect one another first. And respect starts in the morning with not having an attitude with others, or you get mad about something, put it to the side. You know what I'm saying? Put it to the side and let it go. A new day is here. Speak and make up and move on. Move forward. You know what I'm saying? So we got a lot of work as a people, the way we treat one another, but also we got a problem with the opposition. Our problems that we got amongst each other ain't making it no better, but we need to pray, and we need to come together, and we need to start right here by showing love, and spreading information, showing information to one another. Don't be scared to tell your brother how to make money. It's enough money for everybody. Get what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, man,
it's
self-love.
That's right. People tell about how you love yourself. How you going to love anybody else? And you're treating yourself like a garbage can and like a disposal or a swamp water creature. That's how you treat yourself. Then you go, oh, we love everybody. How in the world you going to love anybody and you ain't loving yourself right? That's what Shaka Khan said years ago. The only problem is you just ain't been loved like you should. So you don't even know what real love is. Somebody come along with real love, you can't even recognize it because you've been thinking garbage can was love all the time. Because in mind and spirit and body live inside the garbage can the way they treat each other. But I'm going to reach out for another 336s out there on the line and see if we get some more of that 336s in here. It's hot. 336 at 459. You're live right here on Black Power Radio with Brother Ty is in Greenville, South Carolina. Mrs. Lane and Mr. Lane, Reese, Ms. Lane Reese and Mr. Reese are right there for their son is in. He has been slain in Spartanburg and trying to get his residency straight out in Gaffney, and others are in Gaffney, others are in New York, others around in California, all over right now. We got Black Power Radio reaching around the country, across the nation, and we want to welcome you at 336 at 459 to Black Power Radio in this network with Brother Elijah and others. And we got a 329 and a 929 and a 8368 and a 478 and a 678. And we got the 301s, the 718s, all of them out there. The 864 is dominating. So come on in here and talk black to us at 336 at 459. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Hey, I'm John Carrington. I'm a chairman at Roxburgh Chapter. I'm on the Azure of Blue. And my problem is with us is that we don't stick together. We having a situation right here in Roxburgh, North Carolina, which as we'll reach out to some of the brothers, where a man molested a little girl, which both of them was black. And we got to start policing our own neighborhood. I know a lot of y'all out there do, but we can't accept things that we do to ourselves. And that's my biggest problem. But I am asking for boots on the ground this Saturday. I need all the soldiers I could get to be here Saturday in Roxburgh. If anybody out there that could get here, please be here, because we can't allow
no man. You
know,
all you
got to
do is call. You know we are going to be there, no doubt in my mind. All the people, go ahead, sir.
I really need y'all here this Saturday. Asriel, like I said, Asriel, he will reach out and he will give all the information that you need. But I really need I really need my brothers here, my sisters, anybody that could be here to be here. The police is not really doing nothing as far as the situation. The guys jumped on the feet. The females don't really have no brothers or male figures to protect them. So they got jumped on last night because of the situation. The little girl is 12 years old, and the guy is 30 years old that raped her. So that's all I ask for all my brothers.
Lord have mercy.
Go ahead.
That's so sad.
Yes,
Lord,
it is.
Lord have mercy. Mercy, mercy, Lord. Mr. Akbar, my family is texting me saying that they press 1 and they can't get in. Don't you have another number, you say, another phone number?
Let me see. When they press 1, that means I can recognize them on the screen. They're good, and they hadn't pressed 1 at first. I could see their numbers, but because I didn't know their number, and then the dispatch is not... does not know their number. Just tell them to stay right in the queue and listen, and we're going to queue them in, and they will give comments on Brother Lavelle, on the Lane family, and you can give the history of the Lane family, the history of Brother Lavelle. We want everybody to give us your undivided attention. We're right at this moment putting arms and prayers around the Lavelle family and all of those connected to the Lavelle family, for they have lost their loved one, their son, was killed at the detention center in Spartanburg County. And we had a sizable protest, a sizable rally there a few days ago right here in Spartanburg. And we are just petrified, and some feel almost mummified over these incidents that have occurred with these authorities in Spartanburg, the way they're being managed or mismanaged at this hour, without giving any information at all. There's been no sufficient psychological evaluation of family members. There's been no visit from the chaplain in Spartanburg, and just no cooperation whatsoever. It's just that we're going to kill your son in the detention center, and we're going to slowly attempt to vilify your son, and from there, they're just going to do whatever their level best is to do the cover, and they're going to chime in on the cover-up. And all I can say, beloved, is brace yourself and be prepared that we cannot receive a cover-up on this one. We've got another man online, our other co-host, and we've got to bring him to the line. But y'all just stay on. We're going to get to everybody tonight. Just brace yourself, Brother Black Lightning. He's Ben DeGaffney on the ground. Ben to Spartanburg, and he's a bright man. He's our National Minister of Defense, and I have to bring him forward if he's here. 301-301-682, you're live on Black Power Radio. You're there, Black Lightning.
Black Power, sir. Yes, sir. I'm right here listening in. We got it seem like South Carolina, North Carolina bound all over the place here. The more we keep going on these city council meetings, county council meetings, and perhaps we can get this anti-black hate crime bill passed with Lindsey Graham and Mumble Mouth Clyburn, and get an anti. They have a hate crime bill for the Orientals, thanks to Kamala Harris, I suppose. And so we need one for us. See, every time they put somebody in that look like us, it don't be us. It be a fulfillment decoy, you know? So just like
and they have done one for the LGBTs, and this administration has done one for the LGBTs and the Hispanics and the Asians. Be aware of that.
Just about to say that.
We get pushed aside, lied, died, and laid to the goddamn side at this hour. Come on.
Yeah. Absolutely, yes, sir. So they just trying to pull the wool over our eyes by putting their fulfillment decoys in there. We need to move them out, put our own people in there, you know. They can either cooperate with us and get the vote, or they can not cooperate and we can put somebody else in the power. I know just like it would seem like they think they that we have to go through a bunch of red tape and filibustering to get it done. But I think we put in some brilliant minds like Imam Akbar up there. And you know, even it seemed like some of them, like was named Randall Paul, following in his daddy's footsteps, Ron Paul, down there, Texas bound. They need to be, if they can sit there and become a junior governor or assistant like that, I mean, without even trying, because the people don't even realize they can vote these people out of there. And what I don't like about him is the Emmett Till statute in the anti-lynching bill. He fought against it. He fought against it, and the timing he did it was so that black folks wouldn't see it, because he did it the exact same time when George Floyd's funeral was going on. He tried to fight the Emmett Till part of the anti-lynching bill. So I'm just saying we need to take all these cases that are happening right now and get some legislation done so we can get this anti hate crime bill done for black folks, and push for South Carolina to be our reparation, one of our reparation states, the whole state of South Carolina to be a reparation to black folks, and we don't have to pay any taxes on it, and we'd be given portions of land and given a bankroll to work it. So I'm just saying, like, they have their little subdivisions where they build up their condos and everything and have their farms here on the side and manufacturing over here. Well, we need to do the same thing. Right now, we've got grieving families on the line, Lavelle's and Keisha Tate, that just turned around, the mother of nine slain by her neighbor claiming he was target practicing. In the backyard, and they ricocheted off the street, and he was drinking and all kind of excuses, so to think that he can get off the hook. But he's on the hook, murder one, because they saw the presence of the Panther up there. And the mayor down there said he's willing to work with us to get some programs done and make sure that it don't happen no more. So that's one. We need to make them keep their promises and cut the check all the way from Los Angeles.
You're not going to let the crook get off the goddamn
off
hook.
Off the hook.
Going to put your crook back on the hook.
And all the way to Los Angeles.
Prosecute him, process all the way to sentencing, and keep him on the hook for the fullest extent that the law will possibly allow it to sound. I'm going to have to shoot
down. And for black folks, they have
a... Where they going to send, how are we going to keep us on the air? Give us some information on that.
Oh, yeah, you definitely know I'm going there. Well, it's the only way, not just to keep us on the air, but how are we going to get to, how are we going to drive this 7 hours unless we have some gas money? It's our people. You know, our people have to get us there. And they get us there by going into their hearts and going to their wallets and going to Cash App. And if you don't have Cash App, download it and hit them with $77 Bakers, like the patty cake Baker's man, the bakers that bake the cakes, Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S. But put that 77 in front of it now. So let me repeat that nice and slow for the numerically hindered like myself, so they can type it in. $77 and sharpen your pencil, 77, and make sure the ink is working on the ink pen. Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S. Let me repeat that. That's 77 Bakers. And I do it like Brother Umar. That's 77 Bakers. Black power, black strength,
black
unity. I'm going up the mountain. I'll be right here, though. I ain't going nowhere.
I know
you're going nowhere. I'll be
right
here.
6-8, don't you go away. Don't you dare go away. I know you're right in there, right behind the swimwear. Now, we're going to bring family members, bring them right live to the Mac, and don't forget $77 Bakers. Don't forget to get your friends in at 515-605-9889. Again, for those that are numerically pure at heart, like Black Lightning is saying, 515-605-9889 to get us live on the back. So, Mrs. Lane, I wanted you to kind of direct this. I think I have most of your mics are live. Most of your mics are live right now for the Lane family, if I can get her. Are you there with us, Mrs. Beverly Lane?
I'm here.
Okay, now you have family members at 864, I'm imagining, and maybe some at 929. I'm going to open all the 929s, and they can chime in at will. I've opened up everything that we got at 864. 864 at 649, you're live on Black Power Radio. Are you a family member of the Lane family or associated with the Reese Lane situation?
I don't know this phone number.
Okay, that's 864-649. You're live. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Say your name.
Hello?
Because I know they're not used to the radio and all of that, but it's just it's almost just like talking on your cell phone.
Sam, close that
and just
door.
Take your time. Okay. Okay, that's family. Uh-huh. That's family business, y'all. Okay, now we're right here with you. We got several more. There's a 929-364. Are you live with us? 929-364. Are you live with the
Hi.
Lane family? Yes. What's your name at 929?
Taniqua Deans.
Taniqua
Deans? I'm related to her. Yes. I'm
yes,
his sister-in-law. I'm my occupation. I'm a DHSPD inside the shelter. I'm a peace officer. And we deal with people that have mental illness, substance abuse. And I wanted to say the way they went about it, like, we are to take somebody. You're supposed to render aid. He was not rendered aid. He didn't seek medical treatment after he was tased. That's one thing that they should have did that they didn't do. So the system was broken then when they didn't render him aid. After being tased.
Close the door.
He was thrown in solitary and not checking on for hours. That's another thing. When somebody gets tased, OC, you're supposed to check on them periodically. Like, he was under staff. You threw him in solitary. For his mental illness, there's supposed to be somebody in that section that's constantly checking up on him. That wasn't done. So I understand that our family need answers. What was in even that checked on around the clock. So we need answers. Because you being officers, peace officers, all of that is in your peace, guys. That's your job. So, yeah, we need answers.
Yes, ma'am. Certainly all of the above is true. And by you being a professional and knowing the proper protocols and the proper chain of command, in your research so far, do you feel that they've followed the protocols? Have they followed the chain of command in this situation concerning LaBelle Lane?
Absolutely
not.
After they tased them, they supposed to have took him to medical treatment.
We don't know the chain of command as of yet because we haven't been given any information.
I mean,
the brother's in a funeral and in the ground
and
still
has resolution of as why.
I mean,
that's all we got for.
The when, what, why, and definitely how.
We have
absolutely
answers.
I mean,
if when you're taking into custody,
He was brought to Spartanburg at 11:01, like before midnight. 4:45, the man was dead.
And I don't want to
know what else would be wild. After that,
the legality of the arrest is in question by my legal team at this hour. We do have the National Minister of Justice as well. All of those are online, and they have been giving me feedback and indicating that it could be potentially rest on an unlawful arrest. There's signs of malfeasance, meaning these county and city and public officials and police officers, sheriffs, et cetera, have a protocol. And when they abandon, they draw loopholes around the volition of we the people and abandon the trust and the duty to uphold the constitutional laws, the civil rights of the person that may be in question. And when these things happen, they are guilty of malfeasance, abuse of power, ethical neglect. There's certainly criminal neglect being suggested. So we don't want to just drop a lot of charges out there. We want to see what is the police going to say on today or on Monday. They should surface no later than Monday at noon with some information for this family.
Exactly.
No later than high noon. They keep requesting us to draw a line of demarcation, and they'll move the goalposts every time they show up.
Exactly.
We're not going to allow them to move the goalposts on this. They have given this family a life sentence. Their son, a life sentence. And he was full of life, full of joy. He made the family happy. He was happy with his family. The question, he always talked about his family. And we got to see their position is that they're grieving in an hour of their bereavement, they're not giving them any answers. And this is unjustifiable where the law is concerned. And we will hold them to the fullest accountability as possible as we go in on Monday to find out, what do you say, what has happened to our son? Is that the right question, Mrs. Reed?
That's the main question. When I went to Spartanburg Detention Center, the officer at the desk, he said I told him what I was there for. I told him who I was there for. And he said he had to go get a captain. When this man walks up to me with some paperwork, he says, a little rehearsed condolence. I'm sorry
automatic
for your
voice
little
message system 86442.
Hello?
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 Yes, ma'am. We want you to continue.
Okay. And he stood in my face and told me that he wasn't there. He don't know what went on. And this is the captain I'm talking about. That man stood in my face and told me he didn't know why LaBelle was there. He don't know what happened to LaBelle. He wasn't there. Sled is handled. The case was turned over to Sled. I said, so who is the Sled person? Give me his name. So he gave me his name and number, and I called him. And he didn't answer me that day. He called me the next day. And like I said, it's like a snowball. It just rolls downhill. They just gets bigger and bigger with the lies and with the dismissal. They keep dismissing me. Stop dismissing me and stand up and be held accountable for your actions. Because if I did something, I would have to be held accountable for mine.
I'm on the phone. Come out.
But it's gonna surface. It's gonna surface.
Absolutely. I have the fullest confidence in the divine power and the power of divine intervention. If they decide to do some little sneaky move of some sort, then we'll have to bring it on out. And that's
them white folks, they devil. Of course they're gonna do some little sneaky moves. They're already doing sneaky moves. Let me see that damn video. You've seen it. Carmen has seen it. All y'all saying is except me. Why I can't
say it?
Right. You have the absolute right to see it first.
Well, it should have been an accident report that was made. What led up to you tasing him? There is a report you got to make when things happen.
Where's that?
The updated police report, you should be able to retrieve that. That should have went in immediately. The updated police report on the initial arrest should have been available for the family immediately on the who, what, when, and why to break the ice on the case.
Yes.
And that should be public information as well.
The incident report. What incident went on that led you up to for him being in one place and then transfer to another place? What transpired in there? Why can't I see that? Because I know all in jail, every cell, I know they have cameras because they watch inmates. So why I can't see it? Y'all seen it. What is there for me not to see? Then you hiding. But
that's
like
right.
I said, anything go on in the dark, it comes to light.
Lavelle
was a good dude.
He
was very friendly
to be tamed. It has to be a report that less for him to do this to be tamed. Out there that led up to him being tased. What was the reason he was tased? And why wasn't he taken to get medical treatment after he was tased? You can't forge that you took him to get medical treatment if he was still in the same position as being tased. And you put him back in the cell, locked the door, without taking him to get medical treatment after being tased?
That's right.
And you can't meet deadly force like that. That electric shock would not penetrate your heart, but it messed with your heart. That's why we take him to go get medical treatment, so they can get evaluated and see that everything is okay. Then you continue the process of putting him back in his cell after the medical treatment, but you just put him back in his cell. So are your doctors to say he was okay to go back in his cell after being tased?
And he wasn't tased just once.
And
he wasn't tased just once. He was tased more than one time. To my understanding.
There's other things you do before you go up to tasing. You can OC him if he was not tased. Tase is the last result we will use.
That's right.
But he was compliant since the beginning. When he gave himself up, cops to take him. So why wouldn't he comply now that he's going through lockup? Now he's in solitary. Why he's not compliant that you have to tase him and tase him more than once?
Well, beloved,
it had to
that's their effort.
You tase him more than once. Once is enough for anybody to comply. But more than once? So we need to know what transpired before he was tased multiple times.
Their effort is to vilify or to criminalize something towards the victim. And we can see this clearly in that most of them knew exactly who he was, exactly what his disposition is as a health patient. And they knew to get the health authorities there, but they were either lazed and crazed or they got the S on their chest, the cape on their goddamn back, and they want to be Superman. All things to all people, knowing they have no training whatsoever in mental health. The average police officer has no training whatsoever in how to manage a mental health crisis. They have to, whether they're trained or not trained, they still have to call the medical professional and let them know that there's a potential mental health crisis. We need a mental health professional on the level. And I think the initial officer had to recognize that he was dealing with the situation. and then we have to go from there. And if you went up the chain of command, then that goddamn chain of command should be cleared out. We have no obligation to a rotten officer, a rotten professional. This is taxpayer money we're managing here. Not his money, not his employees, but they work for we the people. Turn that around. Get the elitists out of the minds of these public servants that they can do whatever they want. If they think it's towards the convenience of the elitists, then they'll do the elitist move, trying to appease somebody that's got money and power. Well, it's time out for that. It's time in for the truth and the facts for the Reese and Lane family at this hour. And we're going down to the 864. We got two more down on the line. 864-629, you're actually live right here on Black Power Radio, the Lane family.
Yo.
Go right here.
CJ.
Okay, CJ, let's go ahead and talk black.
Hello. Yeah,
CJ,
the 864 is me. I'm here with my mom right now. I'm listening to everything.
That's 219, 864-219? That's 219.
That's me.
Oh.
Okay, I've got you at the 8. You're 649, right? You're 864-649.
Yes,
649.
I'm 649. I'm 864-649.
And then CJ,
I'm Roxanne. I'm the one with the blonde hair that you met.
219? Okay, hold yours for a minute, CJ, and let's talk to our lady at the 864-649. You can talk black to us.
I don't really have anything to say. I'm just sitting here listening with my mom.
All right, well, thank you for supporting. Thank you for calling in. We're down here at your help that's on the ground is Brother CJ, our chief of staff in Gaffney, is right here live with us. And I want to get an update. CJ has made the funeral, the repast, and court. Oh, man, this man has made city council and the whole nine yards. I want to hear from our regional chief of staff, Brother CJ, on the ground in Gaffney.
Yeah, this week I went to the county council, and you have to go on a Friday before the meeting. The meeting is Monday, but when I went, they told me I came too late. You got to go at 12 o'clock the day of Friday. Okay, the day has been moved to November the 7th. That's the first Monday in November.
This you, Charles?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right.
And we're going to need all of y'all. We need all those families, the Lane family, the Tate family, all of them to occupy the county board on November 7th. Is that right, Brother CJ?
Yeah. But I also need that Friday before that Monday, I need for whoever, if somebody's going to speak, I need for them to go that Friday before 12 o'clock to sign their name up. It's in the administration building. You know where the railroad track is? Railroad Avenue. Yeah, it's there. Got to go up there. It's upstairs. It's like they got an elevator. You go upstairs to the second floor, and you're going to go to the clerk. It's the clerk. The county clerk, county council clerk. You go up there. You need to sign your name and have it on there. And, you know, they ain't necessarily got to know what your agenda is, because they try to tell me that you can only have one speaker, but that's why. I was already told how we got to do it. You got to go up there and, you know, we sign up and say we need to speak. You have an agenda to speak to the county council. But we need to have different subjects of what we're going to speak on. They cannot turn you around. And if something comes,
our chief of staff is a hardworking black man. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You put an instant or something out there, ladies.
Okay, go ahead. You can say it again, ma'am. Someone from the family trying to say something.
No, get over here.
Okay, go ahead. Mr. Reese is coming back to the mic as well. I got another 718 out there, another 718 at 290. 718-290. You can talk black to us. 718.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead and speak.
How you doing? My name is Sonia Gordon. I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York. Lavelle Lane was my cousin. And before I get started, I'd just like to thank everyone who has assisted my family thus far in this crazy, because it's what it is, this crazy situation. And I know one thing for certain and two for sure, they're going to have to give my family answers. We demand answers. This makes no sense at all. Lavelle was a bright young man. Mental health is not a crime, and he should have been dealt with accordingly. We're not understanding how you just kill someone's child, son, cousin, and you have no answers whatsoever. You're not giving the family any form of comfort. There's nothing that has been done. This is ridiculous. It's completely unheard of. I can't understand this. This is crazy. The man walked in and in less than 5 hours he was dead? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. Everyone needs to be held accountable for this situation.
Exactly right.
That's absolutely right. Let me see if I can get to back to my yes, ma'am. That's absolutely right. And again, there's a question as whether or not he should have been arrested in the first place, because knew who he was, and it was not an arrestable offense, from what I understand.
And he was compliant with everything they asked him to do.
Yes, there are signs, but we understand there are signs of compliance from the victim here, as Mr. Lavelle Naja, N-A-J-A-H, Naja Lane. Mr. Lane had been in compliance from what one of the officers may have said it in a way that the family received some information. His first impression was compliance. The first impression from the law enforcement that he was in compliance. So how did this, again, did this man end up dead? And that should have been in years.
This is what we want to know.
The sheriff, whose name is Wright, is that right? They call him, which Wright is Chuck Wright? Is that right?
Sure.
But he ain't never been right, and not in this case. He's not right.
Nope.
So we have to apply pressure to get him right.
He sure ain't the tagball.
Oh, Chuck wrong right. Wouldn't do Chuck wrong right.
Has damn right. He's wrong now, for sure.
Of this form of iniquity. There's a couple of 718s, and I'm giving the Lane family the airways to get all of their information out and reach out to the public for greater public support on this case, because there's been so much damage done by the loss of their son, the killing of a good man.
Don't
his
even
uncle
talk about
testified that he
don't
was smart.
Don't even talk about the damage mentally to me. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, my mind is so confused. You know, I'm 60 years old. My mind has never been so baffled out of all these years God let me grace this earth.
Because it's unacceptable.
Yes, for you to walk, you can't walk down the street.
Who the hell does that? I mean, what the hell you going to arrest me for because I'm walking down the street? I heard a gentleman say it earlier, and I've been saying it. Everybody don't have a vehicle. Everybody ain't got a moped. Everybody ain't got a skateboard. Everybody ain't got roller skates. He took pin back. I call pin back your left foot and your right foot. He had pin back walking down the street. Why is he dead for walking down the street? Why? Why? And ain't nobody asked him that damn question yet. But they going to ask him. Somebody going to tell me something.
That's right.
That's right.
Exactly right. And we're going to see for the Black Panther Party, the activists in the region, the racial justice group out of Greenville, and we're in touch with this whole network, and we're camped out here in Spartanburg, and we're not going to leave until we get the answers.
Black and my Panther family appreciates y'all help.
Yes, ma'am. And we are armed. We go with our God and our gun. We're not
That's
here
right.
to put the foot around with the opposition at this hour.
That's
Let
right.
them know that the right signal goes out, and
That's
all
right.
of them will be in a whole lot of trouble concerning the Bell Lane. Believe that. Believe what I tell you. My word is bonds by God.
Right
has originated the heaven and the earth. We will get justice
How do I get to-
or else. My mind. If you did choose, Mr. Reese, you can come back and give us some of your updates, sir, and the things that you want to see go on, what you've seen go on so far, and what you'd like to see come in the future. And Mr. Reese is there. I don't know how we can get him.
I appreciate y'all. God knows. You just don't know how my heart jumps for joy. Because it's no way, I got my daughter here from Colorado. It's no way on God's green earth that I would have been, my husband and myself, or just us two, could have fought this battle by ourselves. Because this is a battle. This is a battle. You know, the devil, he roams to and fro to see who he could kill and steal and destroy. He did all of that in one shot with my son. He did all of that in one shot. But, you know, it's not going to break me. It really isn't. It's not going to break me. I mean, I have to. I must continue this race. I must endure this race. You know, the race is not for the swift. It's for the ones that endure. And I'm going to endure this to the end. LaBelle can't talk and speak right now. So I'm going to be his mouthpiece. And I got a big old mouth. I got a big mouth, and I'm not going to keep quiet. I'm not. If I got to stand alone, I'm going to fight for that boy, and which I know I'm not, and I appreciate y'all. I'm glad y'all came behind me and stood up with me side by side. Front
That's
jacket
right.
had my back. I really do appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am.
Sick of these damn white folks.
Do it.
They've been doing it for years and years and years and years and years. Somebody got to stay. They need to be stopped. They really do.
That's right.
They
That's
need
right.
to be stopped.
That's right.
It's time. Stop.
But CJ here with me. He gonna see this stuff go right. He gonna see it to him, Mister. We're not gonna let you down. We're gonna make the promise to divine.
I believe that.
That put you there.
I believe you.
We're not going to let you down. No, no.
I believe you, Mr. Agbar, and I appreciate you. I appreciate all of y'all.
My.
Everyone on this line, I appreciate you because that's care and concern. And we have to, we are our brother's keeper. You know what I mean? We have to. We have to because we don't live in this world alone. We really don't. No. And they try to eliminate and execute all of us by any means necessary. They try to kill our body. They try to kill our mind. They try to kill our spirit. They try to kill our soul. But the devil is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, let you all know, we're here at Black Power Radio. You're listening to Black Power Radio with your host, Sheikh Al-Imam Ashbar. We have the Reese Lane family on the line tonight. We're here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where we're camped out at the detention center,
at the crime scene where he has lost his life inside of the detention center, and some are questioning tonight whether he should have not, or whether he should have or should not have been taken into the center. And I will release my mic. I think we're going back out. Our brother Ty. Ty, that's it. Reeves.
He was scared. He was scared. It was nighttime. Yeah, that boy arrived at Spartanburg Detention Center at 11:01, right before midnight. He was scared. You mean to tell me you can't walk the damn street? He was scared and police run up on him. I'd have been scared, too. This is the dirty South, man. This ain't up New York up north. These damn crackers, you probably thought they were going to take them out of the bushes somewhere and hang them. That's what they do. He was scared. Mm-hmm. He had all right to be scared.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He don't come from down here. That boy had just been down here 14 days from New York. He had just been here 14 days. He was down here already, and he went back up to New York last year. He snuck back up to New York from the mental facility that he was living at. They gave him the little stimulus check, and he snuck back up to New York without my knowing. But he was having a hard time, so he begged me and his dad to sit for him. Me and his father, Andy Reese, we put him on the Greyhound. He rode 13 hours back there, and midway was at Spartanburg Greyhound bus station and picked him up. They drove past Gaffney and went to the Greyhound, drove past Gaffney and went to Spartanburg, and midway picked him up where he had left from, where he had been living at about almost 3 years. So they were responsible for LaBelle. They were responsible for my son. I don't understand how they sent him in the ambulance alone and he had mental issues. He's coming from a mental facility. Why would you send him alone? I thought he's supposed to be escorted. Now, I don't know because I never worked in the mental facility. But I figured, you know, if he's living in such a establishment, I thought that he had people that watch over him, just like they sent him to the detention center. The police is watching over him. They supposed to have been watching over him, and they killed him. They should be held accountable for, too, not just Spartanburg Detention Center, but the two.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The domino effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're all trying to put the blame on the other instead of being responsible.
That's right. That's right. You know, I get my little moments where I have my little crying thing. But listen, we all got feelings and feelings passed. You know, I was sad in the beginning. See, I was a sad black mom with F-A-D. Now I'm a mad black mom with
That's
M-A-D.
Right. That's right.
As you should be.
Well, somebody going to have to pay for that.
That's right.
Definitely. Definitely. And I'm not talking about monetary, no money. Because money ain't bringing my son back. I mean, it takes it to live. But I had a dollar before, two Sundays ago, Sunday before last. I had a dollar when that coroner knocked on my door and told me my son was dead. That's the worst feeling I ever had in my life. And that was my baby boy. That's my youngest child. I'm a mother of nine as well. That's my seventh child. I have nine kids, just like Keisha Tate did. I ain't never put that out there because I think that's really irrelevant. Because we're just talking about one that they killed. And they sure killed him. Because he walked in that daggone prison, and they carried him out in the damn body bag.
All chopped up. An autopsy him and everything already.
Yeah, that was by the time they knocked on my door, they had did an autopsy on my son, told me that I could see him when the funeral, whoever was funeral home that I chose to come and pick him up, they would have the discretion to let me see him or not.
Oh, no.
And they didn't let me see LaBelle till the day before his funeral. His funeral was Tuesday. I didn't see LaBelle till Monday.
They had that fixed for him to go straight in the ground.
Exactly.
Exactly. He's still in there. If there were any damage to steel, if he's put in the ground, if you have him pulled back up, you can still have that done. They can pull up bodies to see what's wrong with
it. I know he can be exhumed. I know he can be exhumed, but it was a lot of pictures taken.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of pictures taken. The funeral home lady, she took a whole lot of pictures. And she told me after the funeral, if I wanted to see him, my daughter wants to see him. My older daughter, if I say it, she wants to see him. I don't know if I really want to see that. I don't think I want to see that. I don't want that etched in my mind the rest of my life. I don't want to see it. But my older daughter, she's going to go. She wants to see it. Huh?
What was the reason he needed a hat, you told me?
Because they usually do an autopsy. They cut him in the back of the head, but it was too far up forward, like towards his forehead. From ear to ear, so you could see it if he was in the casket. So the funeral lady suggested that I get a hat, a cap. Well, you know, he had on a New York cap. Her son collects caps. So her son, the funeral lady down here in Gilmore, her son bought LaBelle his cap, and it said New York on it. And he had to cover his head because when we went to view the body, they had a stocking cap on his head. I still couldn't see it. Under his sweatsuit, we went up to the Nike outlet and bought him a Nike sweatsuit. Under his sweatsuit, he was inside of a plastic bag. She said because he would leak, because they did autopsy. She said they cut him in places that he wasn't supposed to be cut, all in his
that's
back.
Called butchering him.
That's what she. That's the word she used.
I mean, for they real, though, I mean, they don't even
would
make.
Not let me see the veil. She had to put him back together. Those were her words. She said they butchered him, the autopsy people in Spartanburg. Now, this lady's a mortician. She's been a mortician, she said, over 40 years.
Yeah.
And she's never seen nothing like that in her life.
I believe we need to go to, like, if, you know, Belle, I don't know, you know, some of these, like, talk shows that come on.
After they give me the cause of death, that's next. Because his death certificate says he has a death certificate. His death certificate says pending. So I got to wait for the cause of death. And then that's the next step. CNN, Nancy Gray, all of that.
Yeah, we need to get them. They're gonna have to pay for it.
They mutilated that boy, and he was 29 years old. Let me tell you something. That first arresting officer, LaBelle had a 100% scholarship for track to Howard University, same place where Barack Obama went. If LaBelle wanted to get away from that police, he wouldn't be able to catch him. My dog, I got a dog. I got a Jersey Shepherd. She got out the fence. LaBelle said, I'll catch him all. LaBelle, about 6 minutes after the Missy ran out that gate, because if you open that gate and she gets face out, she go hardtail. LaBelle came back carrying that dog in his arm. I ain't never seen no human being catch a dog in my life, but he came back carrying Missy. He was fast now.
Mm-hmm.
But we going to get justice. We going to get justice.
That butchering is also the cover-up.
That's right.
Of course.
I thought they were
like
to
me,
the body and kill the mother.
Just my opinion, because a taser is like sticks with electricity going to them. They stick in your body. I mean, if you Google and look up what a taser does to your body, it penetrates, and it seems like they tried to cut those prongs out. It's prongs, like the plug you plug in a wall. That's exactly what a taser looks like. And they cut those out of his back, and they put him in a plastic bag so he wouldn't leak. Now, this is what the funeral father people told me, that he was in a plastic bag.
I don't understand how they were able to give him an autopsy without your permission. They should have been able to, they should have contacted the family first. I'm not understanding.
Well, their explanation is because of his age and because he was an inmate. Lavelle wasn't an inmate. They brought him in there 11:01 and 11:29, I'm saying. When did they do the autopsy? They brought him in jail at 11:01.
That's
the time they did the autopsy. He said they went in at 4:45 and found him unresponsive. According to the justice, he was pronounced dead at 5:04. He arrived at the detention center at 11:01. They pronounced him dead at 5:04. But 4:45, when they brought the breakfast trays, they called him and called him, no response. Called him Lavelle, come get your tray, come get your tray. To me, I've never seen a patty cell. To me, it's a hole in the door, and they probably slide the tray in, and he didn't respond. So they opened the door, he was on his knees. They did their rounds. They
and
made
you said he
rounds.
Was naked, right?
Yeah, at some point. At some point, yes. When he was tased, he was naked. How did he get naked?
Right.
What did they do to him?
This is what we're trying to find out.
I don't know. What
I don't
they
know. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. I don't know. This is the big question. This is the question of the year. What did they do to him? The when, what, where, and how? What the hell did they do to that young man? I mean, if you go into a jailhouse, you arrest me. I just damn show more of you than it is of me. He was one person, a 175 little boy. What the hell could he do to 10 officers? Because I know it had to be at least 10 officers in that building. That should have been your last resort, even if he was cutting up. Put him in that chair, put them straps on his shackles. It's more than, I mean, put him in handcuffs. Why you had to tase?
And why did you butcher him? Why didn't they get in touch with the family first before they start cutting on him?
Exactly.
You're supposed to contact the family. And he was not an inmate.
They say being that he was in their custody, they didn't have to. And that's what the man told me.
Nah.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, you need to look. We need to check into that a little bit further too, because that might not be true either.
Exactly.
No. Right. He wasn't even supposed to be arrested.
Right.
Period.
You need to put them on blast. When you get that straightened out, you need to tear their ass up.
That's right.
You know I'm gonna tear their ass up. You know it, dog.
A brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
With no grease.
Mm-hmm.
He said, mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
don't
right.
Don't make no sense on this conference call, having this conversation, period. Lavelle was a vibrant, nice young guy. All he did was grin all the time.
Sure did.
All he did was grin all the time and make his little corny jokes. Come on, you know that was funny. I said no, it wasn't.
Uh-uh.
I ain't gonna know that little voice again. Call me my dude. What it do? I said, Lavelle, I ain't got no money. He said, Lord, why do you, every time I call you, you think I want money? I said, because every time you call me, you do. I ain't going to hear that no more. And it bothers me not knowing why.
You have no closure.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
if
when
my
I
boy
say you,
was,
I'm not just saying you personally. I'm saying everyone. You, Andy, Roxanne, Raquel, all Andrea, all of y'all. It's no closure.
You too. You too.
Of course. Of course.
Don't leave.
It's no closure. No
closure.
Too many unanswered questions. There's too many unanswered questions. And I don't understand why you don't have a cause of death yet. If they
Raquel,
did an autopsy.
Exactly. Raquel,
if they did an autopsy on him before his body got cold, I don't understand why they don't have a cause of death. How long
did
that?
When he was pronounced dead, they were supposed to call her first. They was not supposed to see that body anyway.
That's right.
Because she would have
this
to say, she was supposed to come and claim the body as her child.
That's right.
They weren't
a
supposed to do
it. Not a butchered body.
That's right.
You hear myself?
Yes,
and
I
if he's an autopsy, they were supposed to give that right to her, not them. It don't even make sense. Why would you have an autopsy done and you don't want the cause it to happen?
Exactly.
How about that, Charles? My oldest daughter from New York is on the phone. Raquel, go ahead and say what you got to say, dear.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes. I would like to thank Brother Akbar for allowing this platform to be open for everyone to speak. And I would like to thank him for coming out to everything. He came to the rally. He came to the funeral. And he sat with us during the wake. He was just very helpful. So thank you, Brother Akbar, Black Power. I would like to thank Virginia and Devon. So when I heard about everything that was going on, it was just like kind of like strange to me. And I was trying to figure out like what to do. And they got the ball in motion. So they contacted Mika Gatson, Letitia, Marcus McDonald. All of those are activists down in North Carolina and South Carolina. So that was helpful. And Susie came out. She came from far. Thank you, Miss Susie. And also Pastor Wallace, he opened his arms and let us have the funeral at the church during this time of bereavement. So thank you, Pastor Wallace. But more importantly, I would just like to say that I hope that the momentum stays, and I hope that everyone just, like, assists in, like, trying to get justice. I think it's going to be a long journey given the history of this country and how they treat people, especially young Black men. So just keep the fight up and just keep my family in prayers. And I just like to thank everyone that is listening and everyone that is understanding that we do need support. So just want to thank everybody.
Mr. Akbar, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am. You know what? I just cooked some chicken wings myself and started eating them. But I'm listening closely. And I'm taking the right notes. And you know what? Even though we're on the road here, we are still showing love. And I try to encourage you, the family unit, don't neglect the family, y'all. You got to stay right there with it and crack the whip on these guys. They're dragging their foot legs, their naysayers. I listen to them, and they haven't given you any correct professional accountability on what their job is concerning your son. And if they had lost their son, then we were holding them. And I know they would have demanded some answers by now and likely got some answers.
Of course. Of course.
Yes, ma'am.
His skin color ain't right. He ain't pink. I call white people pink. He ain't pink. That's why.
But we are going to press them as best we can. And I know we're going to get some answers, but I just feel the spirit of it, and we're going to be dissatisfied about some things that they may have to say, and we're going to have to manage that. That's not the fact. You're going to have problems no matter what you do.
That's
how you manage those problems. It's going to show who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And manage it.
It's never
and
what you do. It's always how you do it.
Oh, Brother Akbar, could you open the queue? Because I have a few of my friends that called in for support.
Okay, let's see if we can get them online with you here. Now, who's that speaking? That's a sister from New York.
That's my oldest daughter, Raquel.
Cartel,
thanks,
how are you?
Thanks.
All black.
Great. Okay, looking at 252 and 434 and who is it? The 252. Let's try it. 252.
That's my niece.
At 642. You're live. You're live on Black Power Radio. You can talk black to us. Supporting the family at this hour. Go ahead. At 252.
Press 1, Levine. Press 1.
Yeah, tell her press 1 and she can talk. Go right ahead. Mm-hmm. See who I don't have on the mic right now. We're looking down. I'm asking Brother Israel to press 1, 2. And somebody. You see that 252, that sound like you? At 252.
My niece.
Let me see.
What number you see?
That's some more 718. 718, you might already be live. I got 2718 out here. A couple of more. Let's see. You can talk black to us at 718 at 290. 290, you're live.
290
already.
Was me. I spoke already.
Okay, got that. Okay, I've got a 929, a New York number, at 929 at 531. 929-531, you're live on Black Power Radio. 929-531.
Oh, yeah, that's my other number. Sorry.
Okay, are you there? Okay, you're there with us. Okay. Let me look
on
down.
So it's a number with a three, a number with a, my friend, his name is Devon, is a 347 number.
Okay.
988.
A New Yorker. Let me get my New Yorker online. At the 347, at 347-988, you're live on Black Power Radio. You can actually talk black to us on the Lane case.
Good evening. My name is Devon Nash. I'm from New York City. And Virginia and I, we got together. Oh, press one.
He's on.
We can hear
him.
Can
you hear me?
I can hear him,
hear
yes.
Me?
Hey, you, Devon.
Yeah, we can hear
him.
All right, that's great. I'm sorry about your loss, and my family's been praying for you guys. Virginia and I, we've been really diligent and, you know, working and getting people involved and getting your calls out. I honestly want to say how I feel. What set all this catalyst in motion is the caller. I feel that 911 should question the people who's calling up to make sure that what they're reporting is actually a criminal offense to where they want to send the cops out. Because just walking in the street is not grounds for calling the cops and not grounds for somebody to stop you. And that's what this is all about. Now, if he was given a citation is you give a piece of paper and you're told to come to court and you release. Isn't that what a citation is when you get pulled over by a cop? If you're in a car, you're given a citation. They don't take you to jail. They don't put you through the system. He stated that he gave him a citation. Once the citation was issued, he's gone. He's go home. You know, he did not commit any type of felony offense to be, you know, for them to put him in jail.
You're right.
You know, fleeing from the cops is not a federal, it's not an offense. It's just not. It's not an offense for them to lock you up. Once they identified him, once they knew who he was, you know, and if he was having any type of mental illness, clearly they wasn't prepared for it. And just by listening to reading the report, and I'm like, a layman person is saying, if somebody's trying to hurt themselves, why would you taser them not once but twice to get them to stop hurting themselves? There's tip techniques, there are different trainings that we have for people who are going into crisis mode, and then you can like take them down without harming them. It's called skip training. And where you basically wrap your arms around the person and you just hug them and you lay on top of them until they calm down. Or you just let them be. If someone is walking around, that means they're trying to, you know, get off some stress. You agitating them, there's no reason why you should be talking to them. Walking is not a crime. There's hardly no sidewalks in North Carolina, South Carolina. And in the sidewalks, those are people's property. So people don't want you walking on their property, so you have to walk in the street.
That's right.
So I don't even understand how that's an offense. But none of this is going to bring them back, but we're going to make sure that they never do this again. This is going to be the last time that they do this. This is going to be the last time. They're not going to get away with it. This is going to be the last time. The last time. And this is, I feel that the federal government, just like in, during Jim Crow era, they had to step in and make these officials, law officials, do their job. These are the same ones. These are grandkids. These are the great-grandkids. These are the nieces, the aunts, the uncles. These are them. They just need to have to reroute out the whole system and redo it all over. It's not going to write itself. It's not going to write itself. Nobody's wanted to give up power, so you're not going to ever. It's not going to write itself. This is a culture. This is what they've been taught. This is what they've been trained to do. This is just ordinary business. It's been going on for too long, and for them to do the things that they did, this is what they're accustomed to doing. There's no way that someone should tell you you cannot see your loved one. Who are you that's not up to you to do that? There's no way a coroner can make decisions like that without somebody's okay. It's just not appropriate. It's not proper. It's not proper procedure. It's just no way that someone should knock on your door and tell you something like that. The police is the one who should have came to your house. Somebody from there, and they still didn't come. So that tells you right there they don't care. But they're covering themselves, so they're limiting what they say. So you should do the same. Because they're preparing, they've been preparing for the fight. We still yet to know what happened. And look at all the things that they've done already.
Exactly.
It's no.
As soon as he
said
the thing, they should have contacted you.
I got a knock on the door from the coroner. And to me, once Fitway sent Lavelle out, because I'm his emergency contact, if they transported Lavelle to the hospital, which is Spartanburg Regional, I feel that they should have contacted me. I don't think a coroner should have knocked on my door and told me that he
not
was
at
dead.
All. Not at all. Not at all.
Especially if he was living and housed in a mental health facility. That's
had it been the other way around,
like,
the coroner wouldn't have went to the cop's house and knocked on the widow's door and told her. Had it been the other way
right.
around.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts at the top with Midway.
These Commonwealth states make their own laws, and that's where the bullshit begins.
Exactly.
They do what they want to do.
Well, I definitely thank you for allowing me to have my say. I definitely thank you. And like I said, we're still going to be here fighting for you on our end, and we're not going to stop. We're definitely not going to stop.
Thank you, beloved. We will, again, until we get some answers, we're going to open our airways to you tomorrow from 8 until 10 as well, again tomorrow on Black Power Radio. Thank you, beloved, for calling in and sacrificing you. You could have went golf and tennis, playing basketball. You could have been playing some tabletop, pool, and all that. But
well,
you decided
I just came
to be
in
Black
from,
Power Radio.
From a friend's
support the Lane family. Reese, God bless you, brother. The Reese Lane family for their son, Lavelle Naja Lane. And we don't want them to forget that name because that is something
they
have done to further expose. They're just sitting there with these wicked things on their mind and plotting how they could, like you say, entrap another black person. We have to say, please, those together on the line with me. Let's say it again. Never, ever again. Try it one more time. Never, never again.
Never, ever again.
That's right. That's right. We have to, and it clears the way for those that could potentially be in harm's way behind these wicked malfeasance, practicing the abuse of power, practicing unethical conduct.
Abuse of authority.
Law. Mm-hmm. This type of law enforcement, the sheriff should have cleaned house long before we got here. Now we got to force him to, because that was dirty. That was low down and dirty. So keep honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We can no longer take it from a no-good, low-down, dirty, and filthy white man would do this to our child. And we're going to be unrelenting, but we got to get some answers. We got to break some ice. We're giving them till noon tomorrow, and that's why we're coming back to the airway with the good, bad, or the indifferent report. We'll be here on Black Power Radio tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. We're going to come at you again, and we hope that we have some more answers tomorrow. And everybody got that number. It's 515-605-9889. Again, for all of those who are numerically pure at heart, we're at 515-605-9889. Right here on Black Power Radio, we'll be live tomorrow with part two of the Tate and the Lane case. And we'll try to get on some of those, and I neglected to get Brother Charles Montgomery. I speak for him on the Tate case, the brother of Keisha Tate, who was killed by a neighbor. And it's all, I'm just giving it to you straight, brother and sister. All of this is connected to hate crimes and white nationalism. They do that. They're right now trying to put something. If the guy said no bond, then they're trying to put a bond together. But yeah, someone
no
from the police department, from the sheriff's office, should be arrested on this case. I'm telling you, it goes all the way up to a cold-blooded, calculated, premeditated murder by the public in broad daylight. It's a police officer. Some call it police homicide, and we're going to have to get this straight, that we will not accept silence as an answer.
That's
means
right.
Silence means you have co-signed onto a conspiracy to cover up the killing of Lavelle Tate.
Accountability. That be held. Accountability. Because it was anyone on this line, anyone of our melanin skin, we would be tried, hard, severed, and hanged.
Amen. Amen.
Believe it.
Y'all be on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I love y'all.
Love you too.
All right.
Thank
good night.
You, Mr. Akbar.
Thank you for having me.
Thank
yes,
you, Devon.
You're going to be.
Thank you.
And thank you all
Mr.
for joining
Akbar,
us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, ma'am. Again, I'll open the line. There may be some information y'all can pick up. I'm going to open all the lines to see if we got any more information coming in from our beloved brother up in Greenville. We have the chairman of the Black Panther Party that's up there doing his research. We've got the National Minister of Defense on his stuff. Again, put it out there to $77Baker if you want to help
$77Baker
at Black Power Radio.
Yes,
you
sir.
Already know. And we know
and,
the time.
We got Brother Azrael.
We got our Chief of Staff, Brother Azrael, in the queue, too. He's been waiting, and again, y'all, 77 Baker, so that we can keep the airlines open, the airwaves open, and keep boots on the ground in your areas and our areas. So that's, again, 77 Bakers. And Akbar, open up the line for Brother Azrael. I think he's at 434-709.
Give it to me one more time. The first three digits are
434-709.
It's 434. And he was online, but he had not punched one. So somebody get a hold of Israel and get him back to the air because he's essential in making some of this stuff happen. We're going to be in North Carolina over the weekend. We're going to just drive about 100 miles down the road, and we're going to be in Roxboro to just check them in the midst of their iniquity over there, because they think that black people are not a rollover. We're not a roll-off box. We're not going to turn over. We're not flipping. We're not going to flip on this thing. And we're going to be right there to put boots on the ground. Brother John is out there. Brother Maurice is out there. Maurice, did you out?
Yes, sir.
You did reach out?
Yes, sir.
Reach one more time. I think he came, but he probably left. You got to have a lot of patience, and the Lane family can tell you to work this radio. You got to have extreme patience, but we will get to, I assure you, we're going to get to. If you get on our airways,
We'll give you. Thank you again, New York, at 347-988. Thank you for chiming in for the family, supporting the family. And we're going to be right back here tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. at Black Power Radio. And we want you, and you can go up and get these links, the links to the radio. It'll take you back to 11 years of Black Power Radio. If you punch it, it will play for at least 4 or 5 hours before it cut it off or reset. So you're getting a lot of Black Power Radio back-to-back episodes once you click the link to an old show, and after about an hour or two, you'll be able to chime in and get this show and send it to your friends. Let them know you are live right here on Black
Power
Radio.
Brother, I say he's getting on now. Azra said he's going
to
get back on
Israel
now.
Let's bring Israel to the line. Let's see what we got. We talked to Brother Israel.
He said he's in the queue.
There in the Washington Metropolitan area. Our National Chief of Staff is online. Please give your undivided attention to our National Chief of Staff, Brother Azriel. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir. You're loud and clear on this end, sir.
Yes, sir. Black unity, black strength, black honor, black power, black nationalism, and black supremacy. Black by a strong black military. Though normally I would typically greet you in the words of peace, I must say that this evening, after hearing everything on the show tonight, I am not in the spirit of peace this evening. Though I'm not a so-called Christian by any means, I do believe that there are true words of truth and guidance and wisdom in those pages of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, the first verse, tells us to everything there is a season and a purpose, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to rebuild. Further it says, and it's that part that no one wants to talk about. There's a time to embrace and a time to embrace not. A time to love and a time to hate. There is a time for peace, and in this time, it is a time for war. I speak to you, the black nation, the black man, the black woman, because we have held the time of peace for too long. I speak to the black man and the black woman, the descendants of slaves and the sons and daughters of our ancestors, to who know nothing but oppression and white supremacy and white nationalism, white tyranny and white aggression. The time is now. I'm not one of these individuals for turning the other cheek. I'm not one for tiptoeing around the damn tulips. I'm one of the ones who fought back. I am one of the ones that fight back. I am Master Teacher Marcus Garvey, promised to return after death in life to serve our black nation, our black people, as he did in life, to serve and continue to be that terror that he talked about to our oppressors. He described it as an earthquake, plague, or a pestilence. Likewise, I have come in the form of divine retribution and wrath, the divine right hand of justice for our people, the black messiah and ancestors, not no buttermilk complexion Caesar Borgia portraying a so-called savior. In the words of the black power general, the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, may Allah and the ancestors be pleased and may be peace be upon him. I am as El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, meaning when he said by any means necessary. I'm that Old Testament Malcolm, that good old time religion that our grandparents and ancestors spoke about. The embodiment of true revolution. True revolution is not compromising. True revolution is a turns these systems of oppression and hypocrisy, the very hypocrisy that you all spoke on this evening, where it is okay to unwarrantedly and unjustifiably kill with qualified immunity and then play victim and straight cry like a bitch when they get clapped on, expecting sympathy and understanding when it's okay to shoot a brother 46 times, Jaylen Walker, when it is okay to shoot a brother 76 times, Jamarion Robinson, down in Georgia, then to be mocked, body left broken and bloody, and still be placed in handcuffs. Or it's okay to be tased to death like our brother Lavelle down in South Carolina, or shot like Sister Keisha Tate, also down in South Carolina, or Sister Sandra Bland, who was not only unjustifiably murdered by law enforcement, but was also robbed of thousands after her death by the same police department. It's okay for them to shoot down our children, Trayvon Martin, little sister Ayanna Jones, 7 years old asleep on her grandmother's sofa. There is nothing to talk about with these oppressors, nothing to compromise with these devils, no amount of compromise, no level of settling out of court, no amount of voting in a system for the same oppressors who are just going to continue to do the same oppression, repression, brutality, and murder. We must wake up and realize political maturity, economic maturity. We must recognize and be able to determine the difference between progression and the oppression disguised as progression. Through these lies of this system of white nationalism and white supremacy, it comes to an end. Now, you all sat on this line and said never again. When we come back to South Carolina, definitely never again. We're not begging. We're not asking. We're not giving compromise. We are demanding justice, not for only Brother Lavelle, but for all of our fallen brothers and sisters, our men, our women, our children, our elderly, those who do have mental issues and mental sicknesses or physical issues. We are demanding justice for all of them. But when we come back to South Carolina, either they can give us what we ask for and what is our right. The community has spoken. If our demands are not met, then it's going to go way beyond speaking. And I don't give a damn about no mayor sitting in office. I don't give a damn about no city council, ones who didn't even give us the respect that we showed them. We're not coming for that tiptoeing around the goddamn tulips. As the good book says, there is a time for peace and a time for war. And the time is now. Black power.
Black power. Black power. I want all of black you to get your pens ready. Get your pens ready to be calling up to that detention center and that sheriff out of tomorrow. Someone just text me both numbers. They're 864 numbers. 864. Every for the numerical period hard. Get you some 864-596-2607. Again, to call the detention center is 864-596-2607. That's all night tonight and tomorrow. 864-503-4500. That's in the morning for the Wooden Tooth Sheriff, Chuck Wright. We ask all the revolution, all activists to call that number and ask about the whereabouts and the circumstances surrounding Lavelle Lane. What happened to him? Why don't we have the dispatch or report live? Why we don't have what happened? That guy can happen on sometime the same day, and they'll give you the dispatch report that someone actually did call. Are they manufacturing evidence? You need to ask all of those pertinent cross-examination questions.
as we go into tomorrow. We've given them until high noon to give us some kind of answer, some kind of update, some kind of report for the family. If they don't give it, then we have to ask for a national, a state of emergency, a national emergency on Lavelle Lane's case. We will
Mr.
not
Mr.
treat this
Mr. Can you give me that?
Ma'am?
Please say that number one more time, sir.
864-596-2607. 864-596-2607. The backup
okay.
number for the sheriff after a certain time in the morning, go to 864-503-4500. Again, the sheriff, Chuck Wright number, 864-503-4500 or 4500. And we're asking for total accountability from those numerically and alphanumerically pure at heart. We need to go to his ass until he gets ask some answers for what we need. We're not backing up. We're not blacking up. We're going in on his ass to find out, why haven't you given this public information? Why haven't you given this family satisfaction? Why has there been no psychological evaluation? Why hasn't your chaplain been over to the residents, to the Lane residents, and talked with them about what is going on with them mentally, spiritually, and psychologically? You will
That's
not
right.
be off the county of goddamn Spartanburg. We'll give you a fucking nightmare. And I'm right here on the ground, and we don't give a damn about no cracker name Uncle Sam. We're the straight, real rubber meets the road kind of people right here you're talking to.
That's
so
it.
This is what's going
That's
on.
It.
Huh? That's real
That's
talk.
It.
Mr. Lane in the mix. Mr. Reese are available. Yeah.
No,
you
he went
to
bed.
Call these people out. He went to bed already.
Don't worry.
But we,
I will.
What,
yes, ma'am.
What
Let him know that we're the rubber on the road, guys. And that's what we do.
What is his last name?
We come into uproot, but to get justice for we the people. We're here for the protection of the rights of we the people and the physical protection. And we go in, as I am saying to you, as the national chairman, I went in with my God and my gun. Am I right or wrong, Ms. Beverly? Yeah.
You 100% did.
Yeah, I go in with my God and my gun against these no-good bastards. And if we were protected, and if any one of them had moved an inch towards that family, I would have given him a gigantic blast from the past and blew him to smithereens, right? You don't give a damn about him like that. They have no rights over us. This is whose street? Our street. This is our goddamn land. He's a fucking, a squatter, seeking squatter. We never even gave him squatter's rights. He's just hanging around the land in the way, really, of we the people government. He's in the goddamn way at this hour. That's real talk.
That's
this
right.
new sheriff in town. Go by the name of Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar. And I don't give a damn for no wooden sheriff name right, wrong, right. And I don't give a damn about no cracker name Uncle Sam. We are not here to compromise. We're here to get justice for our loved one who has been slain inside the detention center. And they are going in a prolonged episode of not giving the family answers. And right now we're demanding those answers. We will get those answers.
Right.
By high noon, to come hell out of high water, and we'll give them justice or else. And we thank you for joining
That's
us tonight
right.
here on Black Power Radio. Any questions or comments as we're about to close, go ahead and talk black to us, because there's more room. Mama raised me on that jello, and I always left room for one more. So you can talk black to us at this hour. Black Power is open for you all.
I appreciate the support. That's what I got to say. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Support. And I'm going to say it to the cows fly. You got to stand for something or fall for anything.
That's right, beloved sister. Mm-mm-mm. That's right. That y'all are a strong family structure. And we don't mind going in to do what we can do to make a difference. But we're going to not allow them to piss in our face and call it rain. This very crucial hour. The turning point in this case is where they turn over the evidence to us so that we can sort it out and give our analysis on what's
That's
taking place
right.
here.
That's mm-hmm. right. You're That's right, right, Mr. Akbar.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
All right. Everybody's down on North
if our regional chairman on the ground, Brother Ty, is he out there? Brother Ty, you black with
us? Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, sir. So he'll be on the ground with you, Ms. Beverly. Anything you need right here with us? We're on the ground here.
Hey, I just want to tell Ms. Beverly, Ms. Queen Beverly, you know, we got your back. We're right here with you. If you need anything, you know, we got you. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I looked at him like he was a cousin. You see what I'm saying? He was a brother.
That's right.
He was
saying
that they ran him in the woods. They mistreated or whatever like that. They had already killed, I'm going to say, my sister. You know what I'm saying? But that's more like a cousin to me. Keisha Tate, that's actually my niece's mother. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that put a lot of strain on my family right there, that situation. And then, you know, now you another hurting mother. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that right there. Auntie, we ain't going to stand for it. You know what I'm saying?
I know Keisha. I don't know if you ever been around the lady Tara Lane with the colorful hair. She stood you straight up. That's my cousin. I'm a Lane, Tara Lane. That was one of her road dogs. So and you know, when Tara Lane's father died, maybe about 4 or 5 months ago, you know, Keisha was there every day. Keisha was there every day. So I got familiar with Keisha. You know, I just moved from New York, from Brooklyn. I've been down here 11 years. So, you know, I'm not a southerner. I'm a northerner. And I stand up and fight. You know, it wasn't just because of the veil. I got that blood in me. You know, my DNA is just, I'm just built like that. You know, I don't run from things. And, you know, I'm as well as Keisha. Keisha had 9 children. I have 9 children as well. You know, my oldest is 40. She was on the phone. And then my next oldest, she's sitting right here with me on the porch. I have 5 daughters and 4 sons. Well, I have 3 sons now, but he's going to always be with me in my heart. But they took one of my children, too. I have 9 children. I'm a mother of 9 that I birthed naturally. I ain't got cut. I birthed all them children. So I've been strong a long time. I'm 60 years old. But they ain't going to break me. That's not going to break me. That, you know, what don't make you strong, what don't make you strong will kill you. You know what I mean? So they got a good one. They got the right one now. They got the right one. Yep.
Better believe we got something for the ass.
You better believe it. Like I said, you know, I was sad at first. I still get sad. But see, it didn't elevate it. I'm mad now. It's the difference between being sad and mad. I'm mad.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm mad. Because you ain't telling me shit. You know. You got the answers. Why you don't just give them up? You know what I'm saying? Why somebody got to keep chasing behind you and you passing the buck? This one ain't here. This sled man, they gave me, what his name? Used. I mean, every time I call, he's not in. I asked the lady, she said, well, give me your name and number. I said, ma'am, I didn't call you every day, a few times a day. You should know my name and number by heart better than me. I said, well, do he even work there? Because every time I call you, he's not there. That's what you telling me. Dude, does he even work there? I mean, shit. They ducking and dying. You can run, but you can't hide. God see you. So not there in the dark, and I'm in with that. Anything go in the dark, it'll come to light.
I'm sick of it, man. Every time you turn around, somebody that got mistreated, told in jail. Then they got to pay a bond to get out. They got to pay a lawyer. They put them behind on stuff. They trying to get together to put strain on the family. And then you do a longer prison sentence if you're black. Other people get smacked on the wrist. Half of them, man. They got drugs or guns or whatever violations. They don't even get searched. They just let. I ain't never seen a white person get searched before. Never. Every time
just
I look
like
up every day, a black. First.
Just like that man, that man that shot Keisha. They let that fool go in and take a shower before they took him to jail.
They let that man go take a shower before they took him to
We're going to get another part of analysis.
They think so.
Ty,
yes, sir.
Heavily. When our national minister just give us a take on some of this stuff, Adelza in California, but she's been following the case and monitoring the case, and she's been giving us advice all, the, all up and down the road. Dr. Critical Keith Bay, welcome to Black Power Radio. I know you're under some duress and some extenuating circumstances, but talk black to us. We're on the Lavelle Lane case, a young man was killed at the Spartanburg, South Carolina Detention Center. Can you hear Dr. Keith Bay?
I'm here, but I can't speak too much.
Okay. Well, thank you for being there.
Power
to the people. How are you?
Greetings, family. I'm just listening. I'm at work right now, so I just chime in. I'm just listening to show support. So whatever needs to be done, just continue to work the efforts of holding local politicians accountable for the way that the conditions they have left, especially persons of African descent born on American soil, the egregious behavior, brutality, discrimination towards our people. Continue to fight in changing policy and legislation along with the footwork. So that would, I reiterate that every week to make a point that footwork without policy is dead. So as we holding these race soldiers accountable for their actions, these white supremacists accountable for their actions, we must take pen to paper as well and be consistent with that. So that way we can remove this government that has never been for us to begin with. And so I yield.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's a Dr. Critical Truth Bay out of Los Angeles, California. And I'm telling you, this is the most brilliant minister of justice that has ever served for the Black Panther Party. It has some brilliant justice, some brilliant ministers that are doing legal work. Throughout the history of the Black Panther Party, she is the most brilliant justice that we've ever had an opportunity and to serve with or to serve for under her leadership in the Justice
Amen.
Department. And she's brought new brilliance to the Justice Department. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Someone's about to say something. And your questions can be formulated to my email address at cruiser7000. It's C-R-U-I-Z. E-R, I know her address, but I'm just giving you mine to get in touch with her on this short basis. But she can come on and give you information that will really make a difference in whatever you're doing. So let's get in touch with Dr. Critical Truth Bay. Is on Facebook, No Look, every crook that ever looked is looking for Dr. Critical Truth Bay because they know that she is going to add some brilliance to whatever they're doing. She's going to enhance it by sometimes a foot, sometimes a whole mile. But she's going to get you ahead of the curve if you get in touch with Dr. Critical Truth Bay right here at Black Power Radio every Sunday and Monday, as well as she's all over the net. She's all over Los Angeles, and she's going to be right here in Washington, D.C. very soon. So we want you to give her accolades and flowers while she is alive, because I'm thinking she's about the best thing that could have ever happened since Thurgood Marshall. Because the rest of that stuff is a pure garbage. Once you hear from her, you've heard about her. But when you hear from her, you'll realize that all that stuff they call justice was some garbage in another garbage can marked the USA, just like the Food and Drug Administration. Okay, all that food coloring and monoindaglycerides and monosodium glutamate and all this other crazy monkeypox, no lock, COVID-1 through 19, Monterey, Feister, Jobster, all that garbage has been given to us with a USDA approved, and I'm telling you straight up, she is the best thing smoking, huh? And the U.S. may not approve, but she's the best thing they ever seen and the best news that we've ever heard coming out of the Justice Department anywhere on 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. We got the best justice lady in the whole wide world and the best one for negotiating and discussing our issues and getting the right legal picture on the minds of we the people. And we thank you so much, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, for your input and for giving the brilliance to the Black Panthers at this hour. And all black activists can't do nothing but admire and marvel at our justice. Our beloved Lady of Justice is one of the very best that ever did it. Hey, Brother Ty, we've tied up everything. We've got Sister Beverly Lane here, Beverly Reese Lane, the mother of our beloved fallen brother, Lavelle Naja, N-A-J-A, Lane. Naja Lane. His name is Lavelle. Naja Lane was killed at the Spartanburg Detention Center, and we need to find out how and why. And we believe that every administrator at that jail knows everything that happened to him, and we need some answers. We're about to go buck wild on the opposition, and that's how it goes. And that's how it flows.
Right.
Where the pepper goes, nobody knows. Go ahead.
I know that's right, Mr. Akbar. Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. That's right. But say it best by Frankie Beverly. And all we've said, all we've done, if there's anybody else with their hand up on their side or in their pocket, raise your hand at this hour. If you have to speak, we'll try to get you to the mic. I'm going to just open everybody's mic and see if they, somebody we might have overlooked.
Lane
Say
Reese.
Something, sir.
This is Andy Reese, father. I just want to seek justice. You know, I just want to see justice and somebody accountability for this man. I don't even know who tased my son with the taser. They ain't give me nothing. I want justice. I want to see the footage from he walked in that building until he walked out that
he
building.
Walk out of there.
I mean, he came in that building until he came out of there in a body bag. I want to see a bit of it. I want every rock turned. No rock unturned. Every stone unturned from the front to the end. I even want to see him when he come out in the body bag.
Allow me to address that.
There's a lot of hurt and pain and sorrow. This, you know, every night I got to think about my son. And they, you know, that boy from us, he didn't want to run away from them cops. He could have did it. He had track, a full scholarship, Howard University, a prestige college. He wasn't no dummy. He had mental illness. Some of the famous dogs have mental illness. What they do, they go around and kill themselves. My son didn't kill himself. He was brutal, beaten, stung, slave shackled, like slavery. Lord have mercy. Here go my wife.
Thank you, Mr. Reese, for your patience, your input, and you've been out all these hours and really, really been putting it out, and we appreciate you for being there with us and then allowing us to come into your homes and then feeding everybody, brother. You really attached. You can see that everybody's travel. Daddy, you got to see to everybody, including us, and we show you so much love, and we honor and we respect you, brother.
We salute you. Because you've been riding with us. You've been riding with us since daggone wheels fall off, and I know that we ain't pulled into the caboose yet. We ain't pulled to the last stop yet. You've been riding with us Miss Akbar and everyone else. And you don't know just how good it makes my heart feel, even though my heart is broken. I know I got some backup. And that's, you know, and that speaks volumes. Because you take your time out of your busy life and included us in our sorrow and our tragedy. And you didn't have to. But that's your purpose. We all have a purpose on this earth. We all have a task. God gave us all talents, and I'm grateful for the talent that he gave you all, the Black Panthers, because when y'all come deep, and you come ready and willing, and I appreciate you.
Power to the people.
Thank you so much, Mr. Everett.
Black power. Really
Black power.
Go ahead. Black power.
Black power. Black power.
Black power. Someone speaking up.
Yes, the brother earlier just spoke about justice, about transparency. Master Teacher Brother Malcolm said, these things are not things that we ask for. We don't ask for justice. We don't ask for transparency. We don't ask for freedom or equality. These are things we take, and when we get to South Carolina, things we shall take by any means necessary.
Black power, black power, from the National Chief of Staff, all of the staff, all of those wonderful people that make this happen. We could never do it by ourselves. And we are thankful to all of those that support and keep the Black Panther on the right page at the right time. And they will make you be right on time. And all of you, it takes a team. We're in it to win because we'll call it Muhammad's lieutenant. And I said, the hell with these hook-nosed crackers that's standing in the U.S. Senate. Graham, spam, no thank you, ma'am. We don't want no ham. It's Jesse James Clyburn, God. It's just somebody whistling dishy and pissing against the wind. He's just in the goddamn way at this hour. Neither of them crossed the aisle to ask for hate crime legislation or let's start a hate crimes investigation. They know the power. They know about these cases. They're going to ignore it. They're going to turn a blind eye to justice when it comes to you and I. So we know what we have to do. We know what we have to do. And we've said it and I've said it. But oh, we know my man Marvin Gaye said it best. Don't you know, don't you know?
Thank you. has held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
My, you give me more of black power. But now that you got love, tell me what you want to do with it. My. Black Panther love is the greatest love of all.
Control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally. Oh, love is what we've been looking for, and love is what we've been searching for. Now that I got it right here in my hand, seems like I'm gonna spread it all over the land.
We know who did this. We know exactly what they did, huh? Get around, yeah. What they call it? Call it your way. Okay, where you stay, but you call them.
To continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color would not be controlled by the old slave now and its covert racism. No other race of people, no Jew, no Indian, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanists. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you have not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change within the solution. You want to concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folk people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house, and our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the Miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which mean that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son,
And after that, he gonna hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're gonna start talking economics, you gotta talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man to build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man to build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man to build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community and in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said their job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did alone give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take backdoor, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, COINTELPRO. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Sitting around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started in fight, just stripped to blame. Kids hitting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence is the beat, only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, crips and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you.
Suppressing lies they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The any goals finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna sign and touch us. About the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Rip the chain, rip the chain. The American way slaves, rip the chain. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Rip the chain, rip the chain. The American way slaves, rip the chain. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun.
Be brighter.
I start drinking, 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 drinking,
each and every night.